Hello, I'm Miles Free, and welcome to PMPA's Speaking of Suppliers podcast. Stefan Brusky has joined me today from the company Tornos USA, and we're going to discuss all things Tornos and many things Swiss. Welcome, Stefan.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here. Good to be here. Good to see you again.
Always. Well, it's good to see you, and I was surprised to see that you were at Tornos, having known you as the training leader at Member Shop Precision Plus. But it turns out you've got quite a history with Tornos. Is that right?
Yeah. So I have a very long history with Tornos, all the way, since I was a little kid. Maybe we could talk about my stint at Tornos and how I'm involved with the company, and a little history about myself. So how I got involved in Swiss machining and Tornos is my grandfather. He was the president of a company in Wisconsin called Gormac, and my dad was an engineer there. And how my grandpa got involved in Swiss machining is he worked for the Gorton Machine Company back in the 30s. And when the war broke out, World War II, the U.S. needed parts manufactured on Swiss-type machines. So the U.S. government contracted the Gorton Machine Company to make Petermann copies.
And that story is kind of legendary in PMPA circles. I believe the prints for those machines came over in a diplomatic pouch. Is that right?
They came over. They were smuggled in a diplomatic pouch, and they sent the prints with no tolerances on the dimensions. So they had to figure all that stuff out. Now, my grandpa, Joe Swanky, he was very involved in that project. You know, they worked 12 on, 12 off, 7 days a week, every third Sunday off to get this project done. And they were able to make a prototype in 90 days.
Wow. I guess they weren't worried about PTO, unlimited PTO.
No, there was no PTO back then. You worked what you had to do, you know, and all the engineers from the local automotive places, they were ordered to work on that project as well. So within 90 days, they had the Gorton 16A, which was an exact Petermann copy. And then shortly after that, with some adjustments, they made their own machine called the Gorton 16B, which pretty much opened the door to Swiss manufacturing in this country. After the war was over, this country still needed and wanted Swiss-type parts. So the Gorton Machine Company had my grandpa start Gormac Products in 1947. And they were around till about the 90s or early 2000s. My grandpa retired in the 70s. But they're out of business now. They're new
makers. They are. I still run into a few Gorton machine tools out in shops. There may be a grinder or two. Richard Gorton was a past president of PMPA, and
Correct.
I remember him fondly.
Yep. So Richard Gorton, Dick Gorton, he was the president of Gormac Products after my grandpa retired. So that's kind of how I ended up being involved. So I worked there in, you know, my summers in high school. And then after high school, in between college, I worked at Gormac doing setups on cam machines, cam design, making cams. So I learned all that from my dad, and it was a pretty nice thing. After I left Gormac, that's when I went to work for the distributor for Tornos, and I was a applications and technician for them.
And that would have been a very rare, there was probably very little competition for your skill set at that time. If you had it was nobody else to call, right?
It was really nice. Yeah. I've been, this industry has treated me very, very well. So, you know, any young people thinking about getting into this industry, it's, you can pretty much go as far as you want to go, you know, and I'm smack dab in the middle of it now, and I enjoy it a lot. And I enjoy working for Torna. I'm glad I'm back at Tornos. You know, after 9/11, we all got laid off after the machine tool industry tanked. So when I left the distributor for Tornos, I went to work for a customer who just ordered two multi-decos, so multi-spindle decos. So we ended up that was in 2001. I was there until 2006. I ran the multi-deco departments. I did all the programming and engineering on for those machines. When I left, we had eight multi-spindles, and I think they have 10 today. So that's really good. And then after that, I did a stint at a local job shop in Wisconsin, running and doing the engineering for CNC sliding headstock machines, Swiss machines. After that, I went back to Tornos. I was applications and service at Tornos until 2013, and then I went to Tsugami, so another Swiss manufacturer of Swiss machines. So I was regional sales manager there for 5 years, and then I did a stint with one of PMPA's good partners, Precision Plus, running their apprentice program and working with the young people, doing classes and things like that. A little bit of CAM machine engineering, CAM design. And then now I'm back at, since January, I came back to Tornos. So from January till present, I'm with Tornos right now. So.
Well, we'll miss you in the workforce development space, but, you know, trying to get access to great technologies, job number two, right?
It is. You're very right.
So Tornos is, it's an old company. I don't want to say ancient, but 1914, as I recall.
Actually, yeah, 1914 is when, you know, Tornos started, but the Swiss lathe history goes back all the way to 1872,
yeah,
where Jacob Schweitzer started. He invented the first sliding headstock Swiss automatic lathe. That was a benchtop lathe.
I think I saw one of those in Laubscher in their
lab. Yeah, at Laubscher probably has a couple. I think Mike Reeder at Precision Plus has one. So, I think Isley Corporation has one in their lobby as well.
Okay.
There's a few of them around today as museum pieces, but they're pretty neat. So, you know, after that, so Tornos, you know, in 1915 started, and before that you had the Beckler and Petermann. There were the big three in Moutier, Switzerland: Tornos, Beckler, and Petermann. And, you know, those were the three competitors. So I'm sure they shared employees, maybe not as much as people do now, but some of that old world craftsmanship was kind of shared by all of them. Up until, and then in the 1970s, Tornos and Petermann merged together. So then it was Tornos Petermann, and then, you know, in the let's see, probably somewhere in the 80s, late 80s, it was Tornos Beckler Petermann, and then they got rid of the Petermann name. It was Tornos Beckler. So up until then, though, they were the manufacturer. All three of them were fine Swiss automatic CAM controlled lathes, you know, the highest, right, highest quality and precision. In 1980, it was Tornos Beckler. And so now present day, it's just Tornos. So, but the influences of all three of those companies are still very widely seen.
Right. And since the 80s, we've transcended CAM. So the automation is more than just CAMs, right?
Yeah, then there's no such thing as a Tornos CAM machine anymore. I mean, there are a lot of places who still use them.
Oh, they're out there.
Oh, yeah, they're out there, but you're seeing them less and less and less every year. In 1978, Beckler came out with their first NC-controlled machine, you know, hydraulically controlled, and then that developed from there into the 80s and 90s with a couple different models. You know, Tornos had the top 100, top 200 models, then the ENC machines, ENCs, like 167, 162, 163, all those were fully controlled, fully CNC-controlled machine. And then after that, the ENC era of CNC Swiss lathes, they came out with the Deco. Now the TB Deco was revolutionary in the Swiss turning world, especially for the guys who still knew how to do CAM design and were used to the CAM machines, because how the TB Deco software worked is it was programmed based on a timeline. So instead of having 360 degrees, you had an infinite amount of degrees. And it was FANUC-controlled.
Fasten your seatbelts. I've got infinite degrees. Watch out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it was a big opener, eye opener for, paved the way for a lot of the CNC stuff in the Swiss world. So there's a lot of Decos out there. You know, one of the nice things about the TB Deco is the software generated the number tables, so the CNC machine itself did not have to convert the CNC code into number tables. It was already done for you by the software. So when you ran the machine, it only reads the number tables, not the CNC code. So you gain a lot of time by not having that conversion there.
And we didn't have real fast chips back then either.
Correct.
So that was money in the bank.
Yeah, it was, you're right. Yeah, so, you know, and then starting in the 30s, Tornos also developed the multi-spindle. So not only did Tornos, and still does, have the sliding headstock capacity, but they also had full multi-spindle capabilities. So up until this day, we still have single spindles, we still have the Decos, we still have multi-spindles that utilize TB Deco programming. And now we also have what's called TISIS programming, which is another programming software developed by Tornos in Switzerland to control our other standard CNC machines, non-TB Deco machines. And that's a really, really, really user-friendly software. So. It's done well for us. It's done well for us.
I'd like to get back to that. I was confused. I thought the TISIS was more about machine monitoring, but
no. TISIS is a programming software. Yeah, it's an actual programming software that you have to have to use the machine. I mean, you could program it longhand, offline, probably as well, but we. All of our customers, when they buy a Tornos machine that's not TB Deco based, it's they use TISIS to program it. So the GT line, the DT line, and the Nano line, they're all programmed using TISIS software, which also, you know, has full simulation, it has full timeline, it gives you an exact cycle time of the full part, and it gives you cycle times on each operation. There's a lot of stuff on the TISIS software that's done for you. So, you know, you have
so the collision prevention.
Oh yeah. Yep. All of that. So the TISIS software is extremely nice.
Neat. So I hear Tornos. I think turning. I was shocked to find out you make some milling equipment.
We do. There, so Tornos does make some milling machines, small vertical milling machines, very, very high end, very fast, specifically developed for specific applications. And we also have a medical machine called the BU line, and that's for milling of medical components, very, very complex medical components as well. And that's a smaller machine, but very, very capable, very high speed. You know, most of the spindles are high frequency. So, that we have that as well. Correct.
So the active chip breaking, would that be found on just turning machines, or would that be found on the milling machines as well?
Just in the turning machines.
Okay. Makes perfect sense.
The active chip breaking software.
So let's talk about markets, because, you know, quite frankly, if I'm making hardware, I probably am not looking at sliding headstock and Swiss precision, but there are some can't fail markets that human safety critical means we need both accuracy and precision. So what are, I mean, we could start with watchmaking, right? Your machines start at like 1 millimeter capacity, 1 millimeter.
Well, that's
about 32, 36, yep. Is that right?
So it's actually 4 through 36. So the smallest machine that Tornos makes right now is the Swiss Nano 4. So that's a 4 millimeter maximum capacity with 16,000 RPM spindles.
Yeah, 4 millimeter max.
4 millimeter max. So we have a lot of customers that run 1 millimeter material, very, very, very small parts, all the way up to 32 millimeter. And also the multi-spindles. So, you know, the multi-spindle goes up to 32 millimeter as well. So, you know, you talk about markets that don't require a sliding headstock, but for a lot of those, it's high production, and that's where we can offer our multi-spindle lines. So
let's look at some applications. So on that 4 millimeter max, that's watch parts. That's not going into cars.
It's that's watch
not airbags.
So you're correct. Most of our applications for the Swiss Nano, those really tiny parts, believe it or not, it's a lot of medical. There's a lot of medical parts that utilize that machine for very, very tiny parts.
Laparoscopic and procedures.
For a lot of vision systems for your eye, there's parts for surgery there. A lot of heart stuff is very, very small. So one of our biggest markets for the Swiss Nano is medical. And then, you know, we do instruments and instrumentation, and we don't do that much watch stuff here in the United States, but worldwide.
Worldwide,
that's a watch making machine. So a watch part making machine.
Yeah. So I imagine backplane, endplane, you know, electrical, electronic connectors, not the cheap stuff, but the stuff that needs plated.
Oh, yeah. We do a lot of connector work. And our customers, we have a lot of customers who do connector work. In fact, I was at a customer yesterday. That's all they do is connectors. So they're looking at nanos and multis as well. So that the connector world is huge, huge for us, kind of like in the CAM days as well, you know, because most of those parts are long and skinny and require right. Guide bushing. The only thing now is we have the capability to make those parts complete because, you know, we can do the slotting on the main, we can do the slotting on the backside, we can do cross holes, you know, as far as the watch parts and the instrumentation parts. You know, if you make a watch pinion or an instrument pinion that has a gear blank on it, you know, it used to be that gear would get hobbed on there in a secondary operation, but now with a gear hobbing attachment, so opens up a lot of doors.
So you're not dealing with free machining materials either.
We deal with a lot of different kinds of materials, everything from plastics to free machining brass to we do a lot of Inconel and an MP35N, which is really, really hard to machine. So we're kind of all over the place on materials, yeah, from the softest to the hardest.
Yeah, when I look at the medical applications, I'm looking at titanium, I'm looking at 316.
Yep, 316, you know. Titanium, Inconel, Hast alloy, Wasp alloy, a lot of that aerospace stuff are those really, really hard exotic stainless steel, HU86, Nitronic 70. So there's a lot of, we're all over the spectrum on materials. You know, we do get parts from plastics, hard plastics, soft plastics. Believe it or not, those are the most difficult to machine. And they're very easy to machine, but when you got burr problems and things like that, you have to get creative on how to do that. So,
And you don't want to leave a lot of witness marks from the process either.
No.
People want that plastic to look just as pretty as it came out of a, you know, a diamond cut.
Yeah, they want it to look like polished ebony wood. Yeah, so one thing that's really helped out with the machining of plastics for us is the active chip breaker software. You know, because one of the biggest challenges with plastics that we have is machining plastics. Is it's easy to machine, but the chips are a nightmare. You know, you have to pull them every part or even stop it halfway through to pull the chips because they wrap around. But the active chip breaking software, that'll break that plastic chip up so you can continuously run. So that's helped us out a lot.
So forgive me, Stefan, but as a baby boomer, I believe in chemistry and I believe in mechanics. I don't believe in magic software. So you said software, but you didn't say that. You know, it was connected to some kind of vibrating thing. So why don't you explain how this active chip management software does what this old baby boomer thinks you need some kind of mechanical gizmo to do?
So, you know, I'm going to explain it and, you know, I may be corrected if I'm wrong, but how I was told it was works is with the, what the software does is in the amplifier, it oscillates the current going to the motor, so the spindle motor. So what it does is instead of turning just a straight frequency to turn your spindle,
it's putting an overtone on it.
Yeah, it oscillates. So how ours works is we have approximately 4 oscillations per revolution. So it's almost like on a microscopic level, it's almost like that exactly what your hand's doing right now. It's almost a microscopic vibration that breaks those chips. It's really, really nice. And you can see it on the part where it's really nice. There's no witness lines. Like you said, you know, if you programmed a chip breaker in there where you would oscillate the axes, you would see the witness marks.
Right. But
the oscillation cutting doesn't do that. So
because it's software on the revolutions.
Correct. Yeah. It's software that controls the oscillation of the electric frequency to the motor.
I love it. Well, okay. So my old baby boomer was right. You just cheated on the motor, not on a gear.
Yeah.
That's great. So that would, I'm trying to think that would actually work on the high nickel grades because it really wouldn't contribute to work hardening.
Correct. It's so fast and so microscopic that work hardening is not an issue like it used to be with pecking. With if you actually if you program the pecking on the axis or you put the pecking on the cam where it would go in and out and in and out, start and stop. A lot of times with that exotic material, it work hardens really bad. So the oscillation helps with that a lot. So all around, the oscillation is a win-win for.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, and you can use that in your transverse or radial movement. So X or Z.
X or Z.
So cutoff chips really helps there. You know,
ones that give you the nest.
Yep. So it really helps with the cutoff tool. That's for sure.
Excellent. So we've all been through this crazy post 2020. The Fed's dumped a lot of money in. The supply chain is crazy. The supply chain has really been a major disruption to life on planet Earth. And yet our precision machining industry here in the States has been the link of the supply chain that's really held out. We've been here in the U.S. We've set records. We continue to set records. We're performing at a very high level. And just wondered how supply chain issues were affecting the ability of Tornos, both in Moutier and your locations in Xi'an and Taichung, to get materials, get parts, and to get machines to customers who need them to be relevant supply chain for their customers. So how's that going?
It's going really well, actually. It's gotten a lot better. We're actually right now, we're kind of back to pre-COVID numbers. It's been okay. You know, the material's been easier to get. A lot of our components are easy to get. So right now, our biggest problem, and I think the industry's biggest problem, you know, worldwide, is just people, labor shortage, skilled people shortage. Supply chain is no longer a real problem for us. It's not what we're concerned about at this point. One of our biggest concerns is skilled people all over the world. So, you know, we're kind of lucky that we have a very, very good collaboration with Tornos Switzerland here in the U.S. that they help us out, and it's good. We've been doing a lot of training programs either here or there. You know, they'll send an instructor over to work with our people, or we will send people to Moutier to work with them. So we're pretty fortunate to have that. But, you know, like anyone else, like our customers and our competitors and everybody, we're all looking at that same biggest problem with a lack of skilled people.
Well, you help your customers with training for their people, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, as much as we can. You know, and kind of one of the things new with Tornos as of late is we've really ramped up our applications and service teams. So one of the big things too is to offer more support and more training for our customers, either here in the office in Chicago or at the customer's site.
Very good. Stefan, I can't think of anything that I failed to ask. Is there anything I missed? Anything you'd like to make sure that our listeners understand about Tornos and your U.S. Service and sales organization?
Well, like I said, you know, we've really ramped up in the last month or two on service applications and training. So that's kind of exciting for us. We've also added more sales as well. We're really really proud of our nano machines. They're doing very well right now. I think it's kind of a machine that fits a gap that's not there, and we're seeing more and more of that type of sale in the micro machining. There's finally a machine to run some of the stuff other than just the very, very basic parts. And our multi-spindle line's doing very well. the Maltese Swiss is kind of revolutionary with the TB Deco software being able to manage that many axes at a time. What's kind of nice about the Maltese Swiss and the CNC Maltese is it's no longer one of those things where you need, you know, 150,000 pieces to justify running parts on those machines. The setup times are very quick. The programming is very simple with the TB Deco software. So no need for long setups, long engineering times. You know, there's no cams, no gears, no levers, none of that. So the multi-spindle line has been really good for us.
What is someone looking at? So we just came from the PMTS show earlier this year. Yep. What did lead times look like, and how was that show for you?
So we weren't in the show this year, actually. We just participated in the technical conference, but we weren't at the show this year. Our lead times are pretty good right now. You know, of course, depending on the models, you know, our standard models are all, we have local stock here in Chicago on a lot of our models. There's some models that are further out than others. Some of the higher end decos are, you know, those are handmade in Switzerland.
Sure.
For the most part. And some of those lead times are in the multi months, but most everything.
I'm just trying to understand. We have depreciation rules, tax rules, stuff's got to be, you know, producing by the end of December. So, you know, when's the deadline to get your,
As of right now, we're okay for the end of December on pretty much every single model, except a couple that we have a couple models that are 9, 12 months out. But other than those are pretty special machines, especially developed machines.
Yeah.
But for the most part, our standard models, a lot of those we have in stock in Chicago. So, you know, and we have the showroom here and everything. So
very good. Well, before I wrap up, I want to thank you for participating in our podcast. If you'd say hi to John Biederman and Paul Casella and Naomi Nunes for me, I'd sure appreciate it.
I will.
I've seen a couple of them.
I talk to him almost every day. So
very good.